Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Grand Traverse Resort and Spa in Traverse City, Michigan. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Welcome back as we are live here in Traverse City, Michigan. And some of you asking, what are you guys doing in Michigan? Trying to get your ass to come on out here, too. That's what we're doing here. And honest to God, man, listen, I don't know how much we're trying to give you the information and telling you the experience that we have had, and it has been top-notch. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. There has never been a time in life that I ever thought, hey, man, yo, man, we're going to grab a little vacation. We're going to take, you know, take the fellas or the fam and get a little vacation. Never in my life, Tyler, if I swear before God, if I ever thought we're going to do that in Michigan.
Hold on, Joe.
I ain't never thought it. It has changed. And I'm not just saying it because they want me to. I really believe it. It has absolutely changed. This is just one of these hidden spots in the country that you wouldn't even think to come to, and it is, and I can't wait to catch some of these this little beach action, shorelines. I want to get into that as well and have some drinks. So this has been a great find, and hopefully you take advantage of that direct flight with United at Bush that you can take right here in just over 2 hours to Traverse City, Michigan. So hopefully you look at that and take advantage of that. Clint, the lineup is out as the Astros are going to host the Cubs. We've talked about this homestand, Clint. They swept the Phillies, scoring 5 runs. They swept the first-place Phillies. Now they have the first-place Cubs coming to town. And the lineup is out. Jeremy Peña, Paredes, Altuve, and he is in at second base. Cam Smith up into the four-hole, Clint, with Jake Myers, bat fifth behind him. Caratini is the DH with Diaz as the catcher, and Trammell is in there. Who is playing first tonight? Am I missing that? I'm not seeing who's playing first. Diaz is
Christian
catching.
Walker.
Oh, Walker right there in the seven hole.
Oh yeah, he's getting so low. Damn, I missed him. he's getting so low.
That ain't Christian good.
Christian Walker then dropped to the seven hole in this bad boy. Him and Diaz. God dog, come on, Yiner. Good Lord, Yiner was third in the Silver Slugger Award last year for catchers. And he's dropped to the 8th spot. So
we need some Yiner bombs.
Something, man.
Yeah, Yiner was in the mix a couple of times in this 3-game sweep of the Phillies.
Yeah, he had an RBI single to drive in one of those runs.
I mean, there wasn't but a few of them. Now, he didn't score but 5 runs, and Yiner was in the mix on it. So the 8-hole is an interesting spot for him. But I get it. He hadn't had his best year to date. We'll see how it all ends.
Damn, Cam. So. Oh,
Cam is rolling.
Wow. Smith, Myers, and Caratini is the DH tonight in front of Christian Walker. So that is what we're looking at right now. I am curious from the people, please. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, please jump in as well. And Clint and Tyler, I want to bring this to you guys. Clint, you first. We're at the halfway point officially after yesterday's game of the season, and they are 48-33 with now a 6.5 game lead in the American League West over the Mariners, and they are on pace to win 96 games. By the way, Tyler, did you make a bet on total wins this year for the Astros?
Before the baseball season got started, I had two future bets I put down. One was on the Astros to win over 86.5 games, and the other was on young Hunter Brown to win the Cy Young. So I'm feeling pretty damn good.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Did you? I didn't know you had it on Hunter to win the Cy Young, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I figured you got them wins. That 86 wins, that feels like...
Feels like they're going to get there.
Yeah.
Felt disrespectful.
I feel like you can go ahead and plan things to do with that money coming in.
Oh, yeah.
The way it is. I don't want to go too far with it. But, you know, on pace to win 96 games. They've got the third best record in baseball at this point, second best record in the American League behind the Tigers. All right, calm down. Carolina's with her hands up.
Detroit Tigers. Gal.
I don't know how they're doing this. But you all, as fans here, we've seen, obviously, the Astros had the run of going to seven straight ALCSs here in the past, and they have been the best team in the last near decade
seven
in Major League Baseball. So it's kind of waiting for that to come. in baseball. And you've seen and had the feel of championship teams, whether they have been teams that won it like the two championship teams that won, or even teams that you felt were championship-level teams that just fell short. You know, the one against the Nationals comes to mind. Are you, and with everything that is happening with this team, when you look at everything that's happening, do you have that feeling like you've had with these other past great Astros teams? Do you have that feeling of this feels like a championship team?
Yeah, for me it does.
For me it does.
I'm there. Look, I thought the World Series window was still open, although maybe not as wide as it was in the previous 10 years, say, give or take. Coming into this season, there were a couple of wild cards, right? I mean, I think there was – I mentioned Jeremy Pena, and I mentioned Yiner Diaz. One of those guys has jumped into potential MVP caliber player in Jeremy Pena. Yiner, we're going to need a little bit more. Also, almost tongue-in-cheek mentioned Jake Myers. That guy's hitting 300, and he's finding himself in the 3-4-5 hole. I think he even hit in the 2-hole at one point this year. So, you know, the other guys I think was Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown's taking a huge step, obviously, in the Cy Young conversation. And we don't know exactly what Spencer Arrighetti's going to look like. But I just – where this team's at right now, Ron, you just mentioned it all. 6.5 game lead in the West, second-best team, third-best record in Major League Baseball, second-best team in the AL behind Detroit. And you've got – you have had – now, I don't cover every team in Major League Baseball, so I don't know who's had this level of injuries and had to weather this level of a storm, but the Astros have to be right up there with anybody in baseball in terms of injuries to both the pitching staff as well as their top hitter. And so that's what the cavalry is coming, right? That the team that we just described, as good as they've played, you've got by far your best hitter coming back. And you've got two pitchers potentially coming back that will round out your top four, I would think, when it's all said and done. Now Tyler's big C. I mean, he that was impressive now, but you've got some serious talent that you're going to infuse back into this team over the back half after the All-Star break. Ron, I've got to think World Series.
So you're having that feel
absolutely 100%.
Even though it looks different. Are you in that space, Tyler? Are you? Because, like I said, you and the fans of the Astros have experienced what it has felt like and looked like leading into. Oh, this is a championship team, and you have that expectation. This team does look a little different. I would just throw this out before you answer this: the first championship. This is the lineup. George Springer in center leading off. Bregman at third. Altuve at second. And this is Altuve in the midst of his prime. Carlos Correa batting fourth. Yuli batting fifth. Brian McCann at catcher. Marwin Gonzalez out there in left field. Josh Reddick was on that squad
world
as well.
Champ.
world champion. Sender of nude photos to Tyler's wife.
Woo!
On her birthday. Through Cameo for some reason. But, like, and then you obviously understand the pitching rotation that was there, led by Verlander there. Does that feel – that was the first championship team. Yordan and Kyle Tucker is in the second one. Does this team feel like that to you? Do you feel like this is a championship team right now?
So that's the thing, and something you said in there is exactly – I mean, almost exactly the feelings I have regarding this 2025 Astros team. And it's that it's different, but the answer to that question is yes, the World Series expectations are still there. And to go along with everything you laid out with what was here in 2017 for that first World Series, let me give you this little stat. 2017, at this point of the season, that squad for the Astros, 54 wins, 27 losses. 2022, 53 and 28. That is very similar to where you're seeing this 2025 squad at right now. And I think the expectations are the same. It's different. It's absolutely different than what we're used to, because this Astros team is winning ballgames 1-0, 2-0. And in those years, it was 8-7, 6-4 wins for that team. It's not as much done with the bats and just the explosive kind of dynamic of the bats. But the way this pitching staff is rolling with seven starters hurt, dude, yes, the expectations right now are World Series, 100%.
It just looks so different. Like that, those lineups in like 17 and 22 and 19 that lost to the Nationals at Game 7 that I've heard a lot of people feel is actually maybe the best team that the Astros have ever had. It just looks so different when you start pitting them lineups with each other and then thinking like the pitching that those teams have had, but this – this Astros pitching, we got to start, even though they're not even completely healthy yet. This Astros pitching is a different monster than it feels like they've even had. And they've had moments where Zach Greinke was their third starter, and he was still a top pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, at some point, we got to tip our cap to Jim Crane. And you got to tip your cap to Dana Brown and what I've had. I'm coming around to Joe Espada. I mean, we talked about it last week. This is not. Hey, a pitcher got hurt. Well, let's pull up Hunter Brown. A pitcher got hurt. Let's pull up Ronel Blanco. A pitcher got hurt. Let's pull up Spencer Arrigate. Like the next best prospect. They've done some of that, and those prospects have been good. But this is more about how they bet on the Kyle Tucker move with the front office, and then Joe Espada and Citron and the staff has those guys playing at an extremely high level. And Joe Espada, I mean, I've never been a fan of the fluid lineup the way that Joe Espada clearly believes in it. But I can't knock him. I mean, Paredes jumped around early, found a home in the two-hole. Pena was absolutely crushing, and now this may be Altuve led, but Pena is now your leadoff hitter. Cam Smith and Jake Myers, although, you know, there's been some injuries and obviously Walker struggling, those two guys have been hitting lights out, and they've taken advantage of those, how well those guys are swinging the bat by moving them up in the lineup. I mean, Diaz is – if you look at kind of how where he's been and how he's swung the bat all year, it's pretty spot on. If he's at the bottom of the lineup, he's not swinging it well. If he's in the hell, I think he hit the two-hole one, three-hole one game. He was swinging it well at that time. So Joe Espada and the way he's had to manage through weathering these storms, I just don't. And the young guys, Ron, you made this point a month ago. The young guys, and the reality of it is. Citron, your hitting coaches aren't necessarily going to consistently make a difference in the Christian Walkers, Yordan Alvarez, Altuve world. Nobody's telling Altuve to swing out of his shoes every first pitch, right?
Nobody's teaching that.
Nobody's teaching that. But when you look at the Jake Myers, the Cam Smiths, even the Peñas and the Diazes and these other guys that we see coming in here, Hummels of the world, these guys that are just kind of coming in and have been journeymen their whole are recently, and they're helping you win games. Like that is coaching. That a lot of that is coaching, and I got to tip my cap to those guys, man.
Wow, Tyler, this.
I mean, he ain't no captain, but this is the year. This is the year to be a Joe Espada guy.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
This Traverse City air has really gotten
to me, man. It's that wine this morning.
I didn't know you had fish.
It's that wine.
It pissed me off. You kept that fish for me. You ain't tell me about that damn fish.
Oh, little white fish. It was in a can. Great Lakes white fish. You know where they caught it?
Fish in a can.
It was canned whitefish. They had whitefish a dip, kind of a spread. You know where it's Great Lakes whitefish. You know where they caught it?
What?
Great Lakes.
That's what I would guess.
Door, didn't it?
She felt the need to explain that, and then caught herself as she was walking us through our wine tasting. It was a funny moment that I remember.
I wish I could have been
fresh Atlantic crab. Guess where it's from.
That's kind of the Great Lake.
Hey, before we could, any of us could say something, she caught herself. She caught herself.
She probably said, "Oh,
Bonnie,
damn it, Caroline."
Caroline didn't do it. It was Bonnie.
Why would Bonnie say that?
Yeah, Bonnie. She beat us to the punch.
She's
now.
Probably beat herself up somewhere by herself. God, Bonnie, why did I say that? Went to the bathroom. And said, what the hell did I do that for? Of course, it's a Great Lake.
Hey, it was great, man. Oh, Bonnie was taking it, and Bonnie was. Does wine chill you out? Like, wine's got a relaxing, chill effect to me.
Drunks me up.
I mean, Bonnie was, whether Bonnie was talking about wine or Bonnie was talking about gummies, one of the two. She was chill as all get out now.
Coming up next.
Salt smart, of the man. Earth.
Would she be a, what do you call it? What do you call wine? What do you call wine experts?
Was it a
Cavassier? Sommeliers? Would she be a sommelier, Caroline?
What did I say, Cavassier? I was about to say sommelier.
Well, she's been doing some studying. She didn't take no tests, but she was sharp, boy. On that wine, it was unbelievable.
Idiot said salt of the earth just out of nowhere. Salt of the earth. Tyler's just an idiot.
That she was.
Shout out to Bonnie. gets a shout out here
at Mari Vineyards, by the way. Great spot. I'm a new wine guy. I'll tell you all about it at 4 o'clock.
Let's go. Let's attempt to get to break for a second time. The Rockets. There's a conversation with the Rockets. I've had it with a couple of people today. I want to bring it to the table here to you. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Grand Traverse Resort and Spa in Traverse City, Michigan. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we all understand the big week the Rockets had. If you missed the news earlier, we've discussed it a bit. Cam Whitmore is apparently in trade discussions right now and has been in trade discussions in recent days. The situation, this according to Kelly Iko of The Athletic, is best to be described as fluid right now. Also, other moves made, Clint, with the Rockets, they have also decided that they are intending to sign some of their bench free agents, Jason Tate, Aaron Holiday, and the veteran Jeff Green, to new contracts to bring all of them back next season. So there have been some action there with the Rockets outside of the Kevin Durant situation.
I love it.
Do you? Those veterans coming back?
Yeah, those veterans coming back. I mean, again, guys that have specific roles. They know who they are. The whole organization knows who they are. Hell, the fan base, if you've watched, know exactly what role they play. Clearly, they're bought into what MA Udoka is selling.
Or they wouldn't be here. Yeah.
Or they wouldn't be here, right? They'd damn sure be gone and not be brought back. And so, yeah, man, I think, again, along with the stars aligning in Houston in a sense of being able to go get Kevin Durant and making it worth your while, not just going and signing a superstar and hoping it works, but the timing being right for an organization to go do that and take the next step. I think a big part of that is, you know, you had to give up Dylan Brooks, obviously a key veteran in this rebuild, if you will. You had to give him up to get KD, so you can't go back there. But keeping as many of these others, if you will, again, your 7, 8, 9 guys on the bench, keeping those guys there that are A-okay with being role players and you know, doing everything they can to go in and play well when they're called on, but then not going back to the locker room and pouting because they played well and they're not getting more time, or pouting because they're not starting. You know, keeping those guys in-house, man, is critical for the Rockets. So, that's good to hear, man.
Yeah, Jeff Green, who's won a championship with the Nuggets, it's been around. Yeah, those are three guys who, as you said, they could miss. They could get three DMPs in a row and then, you know, can come back and play and be the same people.
Yeah, and look, we saw Holiday.
Which is probably a difference from somebody like Cam, potentially.
Yeah. Well, we saw all the guys that you mentioned, man. All those guys at some point in time played a critical role, and not just in mop-up duty or when somebody was resting, but played a critical role in a critical moment when you needed them. You know, Fred goes down and Holiday comes in and he knocked down some critical shots. And so, I mean, that's big for this team, and it'll be big for the team in terms of whether they can or can't make a run at a title. You mentioned Cam Whitmore, though. You updated Cam Whitmore there, Ron. You know, we talked a little bit about this with the Jalen Green situation, you know, in terms of if Jalen Green is young, we haven't given him time to develop, and you trade him for an older player. And now what if he goes somewhere and he lights it up? I'm going to be honest with you. If Cam Whitmore is one that another one that if they end up trading him away, which I have no problem with, I'm just telling you what I think your fans, a lot of your fans are going to do.
Yeah.
Cam's a guy that'll go somewhere to an organization that's tearing down, or an organization that is in dysfunction, and they'll go, hey, Here's the ball. Go score points.
Empty calorie points. Yeah.
And he'll go out there and he'll average 20-plus points, and everybody's going to be – if the Rockets don't win an NBA title, everybody's going to be, see, I told you, look at that Cam. Cam strikes me as one of those guys. He's going to go somewhere. And
the shots are there.
Oh yeah,
he's gonna put up some numbers from that standpoint.
Well, but he's a guy too. If you're not an organization that has, you know, the everything built the right way, and you need a guy that can sell some tickets and a guy that can go out there and fill it up, I think he's going to have a chance to do that. Assuming he goes to one of those types of organizations. But it's going to be interesting to watch if he does, and then he starts filling it up to the tune of 22 a game. You know, everybody's going to wonder what the hell the Rockets were thinking.
Cam is interesting, the way that people, like, really view him. Like, I see people texting in, like, all he does is just, the kid is a walking button, a bucket. All he needs is minutes. Maybe. Someone texted in, we just literally have to give him minutes. He's a damn boss.
They may be right. Because here's the thing, though, Ron. I mean, look, M.A. Doka and Rafael Stone and everybody involved in that organization, they see the same athletic ability and whatever the text line is referring to as a bucket. Like, whatever you see to be that aggressive about Cam Whitmore, they see that as well. And they're sitting there telling you in moments when Jalen Green's going out there and single-digiting us to death. They're telling you, like, it's not even a thought.
Yeah.
Like, so clearly as a fan, I just don't know how you don't look at that situation. You got to be somewhere other than he just got to get. There's got to be a thought, a reason behind it.
I don't think Ime Udoka all of a sudden becomes an idiot when it comes to Cam Whitmore.
Agreed.
Right. Like, I think if Cam played more, he would put up.
Agreed.
Offensive numbers. But I think there has got to be a point where you ask yourself the question of why wouldn't Udoka put him in more? Just like the same reason why you would ask yourself, man, this team can't shoot worth a damn. And he ain't even given Reed a shot.
Right. He ain't ready. But in the fourth quarter, you need points, and Jalen Green's on the bench. You ain't taking the ball out of his hands. You got him on the bench. There's got to be a reason for that.
There's five guys they'd run in there before they get to
absolutely.
Cam Whitmore. And I'm not saying it's right. I do hope if he does remain here, as someone texted him, please do not trade Cam. Cam has a pretty shot like Anthony Edwards or prettier. Dude can flat out hoop, and he jumps higher than Jalen Green and is stronger. What do you think it is that's holding him back? Do you think it is just an absolute blown mistake by the coaching staff, or what do you think it is?
Are you asking me that?
I'm just, in general, because there are a lot of people who have responded in the thing. I'm not, and I don't think you are either, championing trade him, but I think you understand what is happening, and there has got to be something on his end. At least on this team that he has to meet.
Look, it's just like the quarterback that just can't understand you got to take less risk with the football. You got this big arm, you're athletic, so you can extend plays, and you feel like if the ball doesn't travel more than 20 yards down the field, you can't do it. You just will never buy into checking the ball down, and you'll never buy in working low to high, and you'll never buy into your role as I got to protect my offensive line. I got to protect my play caller. I've got to get the ball out of my hand, protect my health. Like the quarterback that'll never do it. Nope, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to drive the ball down the field. For one way or another, that guy's uncoachable. Right. And so I would, and uncoachable is a very broad net to cast. And a lot of people think it is negative, but a lot of people think it's because somebody's a turd or not. That's not always the case. Like I would be willing to bet you that a guy that's that talented that can't get on the floor in the situations that we watched last year in Houston, there's some level of not,
he is
uncoachable to some level. Now again, whether that's he's being a turd or he just straight up says to hell with y'all and gives them the bird. Or, hey, he just don't get it. And Ime Udoka and company aren't going to put him on the floor until he does get it. And he's just for 3 years, 2 years now, just hasn't got it.
I'm more hope that he is able to do whatever it is to meet the standard that they are having set that he clearly has not met.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So I don't, but will I be surprised or will I say, damn, they really blew it if they trade him? No, I wouldn't. All right, coming up, Tyler, we have a developing situation that I need to come clean about, and one of the major, major reasons why I cannot wait until this NFL season starts. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the Grand Traverse Resort and Spa in Traverse City, Michigan. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we got a bit of a situation here.
Uh-oh. Doesn't sound like a good situation.
It's, I feel bad. And I'm going to get crushed by the people, and it's fine. And I fairly understand that. Tyler, I think I'm going to have to maybe take a step back on that gift thought.
Wow.
Well, it just may
not
have to
even
be
2 hours through you telling me you were going to get something.
It may be a different gift at this point. As I walked over there to take a few photos of some of those polos, I was thinking it would look nice for you. They had, I don't know if you're large or an XL.
XL.
I think, as I was going to say, I think you choose the wrong size. There's not a chance in hell you're an XL, but whatever.
Every shirt I own.
I know it. But
all my clothes are oversized?
I think so.
He double layers. He double layers because of that sweat problem you got.
I don't ever double layer, actually.
You wear certain colors, correct?
I think you're a good large. Check the size of this shirt right here. What's the size of that shirt?
Not a large.
Be XL, bub.
There's no chance. I know, Tyler.
I know I'm thin in the ass, but I got a frame in which the Milner frame requires an XL.
So I was out there looking. I took my phone. I'm gonna have to go past it. It'll get stuck. I just took my phone out there.
I'm just walking around wearing tall tees every day.
I just think they're too. I think you're large. Maybe a large, a tall large. Maybe you should get that. But I think you're large.
No, you're wrong.
As Clint just told you, I'm wearing an XL right now, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm not in shirt size denial. This is not an XL that is just tightened to the tape. Anyway, I went out there to take some photos, and I don't know if I had my finger over my thumb over maybe the fullness of the price. Yeah, it wasn't $14, Jack.
So I'm not getting anything. That's fine. That's cool.
I'm just saying they were $114 is what I had.
Did you think you was going to get a T-shirt in a pro shop for $14? I mean, a polo for $14?
It said clearance, and I went out there as clearance.
$114 is clearance.
clearly, well, I'll tell you right now, I ain't got that for you, Jack. I mean, I'm going to have to find something else in there, but it ain't going to be one of the polos, maybe.
I won't get my hopes up, bro. I
looked at a few of them, man. They were 117, 163.
I think you're worth it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dirty. I think I am too, but it's not my money, so it's all good.
I may go over there and take some pictures and see. What you got?
And I wish one of y'all would stop taking pictures and just buy me something, but that's cool.
Well, I was going to give you a choice. I was going to give you a little choice before I did something.
I'm just telling you that 114 and 117 changes things a bit for me on the selection.
What does that mean? Does that mean you finna ask us to pitch in?
No, I'm going to get something all on my own. It may just be maybe a marker. Maybe. Yeah.
Yes, a ball marker.
That would be a good one, right? Damn it. Hold on, let me check.
I obviously haven't spent $114 on all the like different show shirts and stuff I had made and all that.
Fair point. So that's, yeah, that is that's a very
good,
fair
good call, Ron.
Fair point, man. I'm thankful for you. I appreciate it. You spent $114 on them?
There's been a lot. Jesus.
It's been several years, ain't it, T?
Yes.
A lot.
Remember them fun big hats I got y'all for the Super Bowl too?
Those are great, man. I appreciate it. You have to throw it back in our faces. I'm just saying, man.
I didn't get one of those.
Oh, you weren't here. There's one in the studio somewhere in the station. Yeah, me and Brandon were wearing them. I just at 114, man, that's just a little bit beyond where I am right now in my life. I'm gonna check out them ball markers now. If the ball markers are a little bit rich for my blood too, maybe.
Well, ball marker. That's a clutch. That's a clutch pickup for somebody. It's probably better than a shirt anyway, especially if he's not picking it out. I mean, if it's me, I'd rather you get me a ball marker. If I'm being dead serious, I don't need anybody else picking out my shirt.
Text line,
especially my polos. I'm kind of critical of polos.
Text line coming through, Ronnie. It's Ron. You just cheap. You can't put a price on T-Ville. Guys, I don't think you guys would buy a $114 polo. I just don't. I love Tyler. I really do. Tyler makes my life easier. He is a great young man. Very
well.
Emotional.
You can prove it by you know $114
I
shirt.
Prove, I could prove. Hell, I could make him a thoughtful card, and really prove it. Not just $114 on him. Like Tyler, I think I will spend $114 on you in stages. With
over how much time?
Hey, we're laughing out. Tyler doesn't sound like he thinks it's very funny. By the way,
it's hilarious, dude.
That was the best part.
Hope y'all are having hilarious. A grand time up there
it's
in Michigan.
Hey, grand Traverse time. Look at that little fella right there with that big noggin sticking his mouth on the window.
Somebody need to clean that.
Look, I got a little Milner out here, Tyler. He got a melon on him, boy.
I heard the little guy with the big head. I was like, what'd I do now?
Your nephew's out of here.
I was listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning, and I heard a little bit on In the Loop as well. They were
Pendergast
talking about
and Payne.
That one too, Nick. They were talking about that offensive coordinator chart. Did you catch that damn thing there where they had Bobby Slowick as dead last?
Bobby.
I mean, they said pass score. Joe Brady, who was number one on the list, was rated at a 98.1. Bobby Slowick, dead last on the list, was rated at a 0.0 in terms of pass score. Overall, his rating was 0.9. Second place was Luke Getsy, who no longer has a job, at 3.7. Also, Shane Waldron at 26.9, who got fired midseason for the Bears. I also want to make a note on this list that somehow Andy Reid is 27th when it comes to play calling last year, lower than Shane Waldron, who was fired, in Ken Dorsey. At 17.4%. So I would like to say this list is stupid. Listen, I understand the things that we have heard about with Bobby Slowick and other things. Clint, I cannot wait for this season to start because I have reached my it is all Bobby's fault. And I cannot wait to see somebody, because the way that you would hear it right now, they said they have been doing this study for 15 years, and Bobby Slowick is the worst play caller in the history of the 15 years.
Dang it, Bobby, that's exactly what we don't want.
I know we're going to be able to gauge this play calling by the execution of the other dudes on the floor, on the field. I don't know how that works into this thing, but because somehow Andy Reid and Bobby Slowick may have had the two worst offensive line situations in the NFL, but somehow they're 27th and 32nd, and we all know Andy Reid ain't no damn worse than Zach Robinson or Alex Van Pelt on this stupid-ass list that just come up. But I just – because my expectations now from everything we've been hearing, Clint, is this offense ought to be leaps and bounds from what they were last year. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't see it. I don't see that this is just about this. They about to just jump off the map. Now they have gotten released of Bobby Slowick, and now his ass is gone. And Chris Strausser, I cannot wait till this season starts so we can see this new chains of the shackles that have been taken and released off of C.J. Stroud and the rest of this. I am so tired of this. Bobby Slowick is just, I'm so tired of it. I can't wait.
Look, I love the thought of the Bobby Slowick fatigue, because I agree. I mean, I agree that wholeheartedly that there's layers and layers and layers, and Bobby's just one of them. This is, I mean, anything like this, a chart like this, and you pointed it out, any chart that you look at that's grading offensive coordinators, and Andy Reid is 27th, rip it up, throw it away, and don't ever look back. Whatever it is, even if the information is accurate, that there's no sense in it. The story it's trying to tell doesn't make a lick of sense. So
Todd Downing, Jets, 8th best play caller.
Yeah, the Jets play caller. That's a good one. Yeah, that's tough. I am glad that particular graph or ranking or advanced stat ranking got you to a point where we could talk about Bobby, because I agree with you. I'm one.
I'm not saying Bobby wasn't bad, Clint.
Oh, no, we talked about it, or
at least it didn't have his issues.
It was easy to justify why Bobby Slowick got fired. No question about it. But you know, the thought of that was the overarching issue with this offense is and I hope it's right. I hope they're right. I hope that is the overarching issue, and I hope the guy they hired flips the script and ends up a top 10 guy on that chart. But
I mean, they had some dudes. They had some dudes up front. I don't care what you talk about with the coaching. They could at least touch somebody. I mean, there was just you can't hit me with the coaching stat, or the coaching was, it was so much. We look on the field and you saw so many. I don't care. There were moments and plays all year on the offense, from whatever, the line mostly, but anywhere, where you looked up there and you said to yourself, they have got to do better. I don't know what the play call was. I don't know what the execution was supposed to be.
Yep.
But it has to be better than that, yep. Dalton Schultz. Nobody is teaching that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody, like there just had to be to for us to just lay it down there. I mean, I cannot wait till this damn season starts so we can finally stop talking about and all the rest of them. Oh, and I tell you, man, he's going to put us in places where we're supposed to be, right? Kenyon Green stepping aside and letting people walk right through the line. And then, come on, man, get out of here with this. The worst in 15 years of a play caller.
Hold on, so.
Where do you think he was last year? Todd Downing of the damn Jets is eighth.
Yeah, he.
Press Taylor of the Jags.
Bobby had to be top five last year.
Oh my God!
Get out of here, man. Brian Daboll's almost 10 spots ahead of Andy Reid from last year. That Giants outfit that we just watched roll through here. Man, get out of here with that thing. I just can't wait till we stop so we can move on and see the greatest show on turf. That's what I can't wait to see, because that's what I'm expecting to see once you take that person out of the mix. Now, boy, we got to see it now. Now, yeah. Our run game was really working towards the end of the year last year because of stuff Cole Popovich wanted to do as the assistant, and we started doing more. And once they talked Bobby into it, I can't wait for this. Sorry, what you got coming up?
Tyler, if you listen to the drive, if you're out there and you listen to the drive, you're going to want to hear this next thing. Tyler, Ron don't want to spend $100 on you on a shirt. Wait till you hear what he did to me last night. Wait till you hear what Ron did to me.
I bet it's
going to
make
me
feel a lot better about him.
Oh, man. Wait till you see what he stuck me with last night. And these Astros, y'all, they sweeped them Phillies, and it was a big time three-game set. Hell, it's been a big-time first half of the season.
Not 100% my fault.
Who's the biggest shock? Who shocks you more, Cam Smith or Jake Meyers? We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.